Well, more vaccine news today. Today, one that doesn't have to be frozen. It could just be kept in the fridge. That's pretty handy, isn't it? But equity investors are very cautious. There's not much movement in bonds either. Everyone's looking at those COVID numbers, it seems. Plus, PMIs, lots of them in the last 24 hours. We'll take a look at them. Plus, Donald Trump's last hurrah against China. And the Victoria State Budget today. Lots of infrastructure spend to be announced. It's Tuesday, the 24th of November, 2020. It's the Morning Call from NAB. Good morning. So the US dollar is up 0.1% on the DXY. It's up 0.5% on the Japanese yen. The Aussie dollar, though, down 0.25%. The pound, no doubt spurred on still by Brexit hope, that's up 0.25%, although the euro is down 0.1%. On stocks, well, we're back to tech stocks falling while others are rising. Well, actually, it's not strictly true. The NASDAQ was down a little, although it's risen up about 0.1% or 0.2% now, but Apple has been down 2%, Microsoft down 0.6%, Facebook down almost 1%. The Dow is up, though, 0.9% up, the S&P 500 up 0.3%. Shares are down in Europe, though, a 0.3% fall in the FTSE 100, 0.1% down for the Euro Stoxx 50. Back in the US, where are the stock rises? The Russell 2000, smaller companies, up 1.5%. Bank stocks generally doing well in the US as well. Along with Boeing, it's up 4.6% because people, it's hoped, will soon be flying, and they'll be flying in the 737 MAX, which is now able to fly again. And energy stocks doing well. We saw a 2% rise in Brent crude and 1.2% up for WTI this morning. 10-year treasuries, they're up a couple of basis points. The same for 10-year gilts in the United Kingdom, but generally not much bond movement around the world. David DeGaris is here today, Director Economics for Markets at NAB in London. So it's still infection rates versus vaccine news. Dave, it looks like the vaccine news is hitting tech stocks. And look, there's a lot of it in terms of rapid delivery. It looks like AstraZeneca can now be added to the list.
Yes, Phil, and good to be with you again. It certainly hit the news off the bat this morning, Phil, and certainly injected another bit of vaccine confidence into the market. So right off, just after 7 a.m. our time, AstraZeneca, the Oxford University Consortium announced the news. And, of course, they're not using the messenger RNA technology, but more conventional vaccine technology. So it's also going to be a cheaper vaccine. They say about, interesting now that even the British press is reporting the price of a cup of coffee. Whatever the price of tea these days, Phil.
Well, why don't we just put it in coffee? I think that's a really good idea. Put it in your coffee in the morning. It sounds like, and it doesn't need to be kept in the freezer. It can be stored in the fridge. So there's all sorts
all
of
that.
All good news.
Absolutely. I mean, the initial news was 62 or 70% effective, but one of their trials showed that it could get up to 90% effective. Mm. So they're going to do more work on that. So I think it's another piece of very encouraging evidence that, you know, there's a real prospect that, you know, as we go through next year, life will begin to get back to normal again.
Yeah, well, so Operation Warp Speed in the United States, the head of that, I'm not sure, Lieutenant Uhura, or whoever it is who's doing that, said on CNN at the weekend that they're hoping to be rolling out the vaccine in the next 3 weeks United States. So
that could well start, you know. I mean, you've got Pfizer applying now for emergency use authorization. You've got AstraZeneca, Oxford, getting their ducks lined up to apply for their regulatory approval as
and
well.
And easing lockdowns as well in Europe. That's the other good news, isn't it? France is going to announce something tomorrow. The UK today, the national lockdown is over. Next week, it's going to be returned to the tiered system that had everyone confused. So back to confusion for the UK. One MP told Boris Johnson that the last ruler who told people how they may or may not celebrate Christmas was Oliver Cromwell. And look how he ended up. Well, he ended up being dug up after he died, strung from chains, and beheaded by the royals. We wouldn't wish that on Boris, obviously. But I want to look at equities. Just all the action is in equities. Not much is happening in bond yields. I mean, maybe investors think that bonds are about right. I mean, inflation is low. Yeah. There's no need to demand high yields. They're still better value than corporate bonds, obviously. You're still getting a return on them. And there's uncertainty around. So maybe there's still a safe bet. So maybe that's just why they're sticking where they are.
Well, I think a couple of interesting things are happening across asset classes, fill. So it may be that the positive vaccine reality is catching up more with equity market valuations. But as you mentioned in the intro there, Phil, the smaller cap stocks seem to be doing well. You mentioned Boeing earlier. You know, it's looking at the likes of hotels, cruise companies, so forth, sort of coming back as well. Of course, they've got a long way to come back. But, you know, so you're seeing that. And the other interesting asset class, though, is in the FX space. So you said that the US dollar had made a comeback today. And we saw that with the right after the release of the US market PMIs. So these are released ahead of the official ones. So it was released this afternoon, London time. And the manufacturing was up from 53.4 to 56.7. Services up 56.9 to 57.7. So the market saw that and thought, well, you know, the US, their lockdowns have been sort of state-specific, not universal, and activity there is continuing on. So, you know, we saw the recent payrolls result. That was quite encouraging as well. So, saw the signs the US dollar sort of turned around. It had been on the defensive through the morning London session, but turned around this afternoon just with the likes of the Aussie, you know, pulling back from 73.30 towards 72.70. Now it's retraced again in parts, and euro and so forth was a similar story. So maybe that's the relative growth story rather than just we tended to think of US dollars basically sort of on the positive side from risk aversion, but you know there's a growth story there that will come to pass, and maybe see early signs of that as well.
Well, those PMIs for the US were so much better, weren't they? Because we also got them for the Eurozone and for the UK. Yes. So much better in the US, and yet you know we know the infection numbers are so much higher in the US, and there's been a more cautious approach taken in Europe, but they've sort of ploughed on, not ploughed on regardless, but there's not been the same degree of caution. And, you know, a lot of these indicators are showing, well, that's helped the economy in the short term anyway.
Well, it certainly has in these numbers. And we certainly saw quite a big divergence with the European and UK numbers that we saw today, Phil. So the services sector there across France, Germany, the UK all took a hit in November, which is exactly what you would expect from the restrictions. In other words, the restrictions have just done their job, right? So, you know, the France services index down from 46.5 to 38, Germany to 46.2 from 49.5, and the UK back from 51.4 to 45.8. So we have seen those, you know, they have wound back, but certainly nowhere near the sort of April shocking lows, you know, on the much harsher lockdowns then. So France has got to a low of 10 back then, and the UK, you know, much lower as well. So, you know, I think that's what the market expected. I don't expect that the markets will wind back their growth expectations much for the December quarter. Expecting flat in Germany, France, and the UK GDP to be down this quarter. But as you say, coming out of lockdown, so markets will think about, you know, as we go through the end of the year and into next year. One interesting postscript to that release, Phil, was that the UK manufacturing sector seemingly powered up in November, the PMI there. But when we read the survey, it certainly suggested that, again, it was pre-December 31st stock building and supply and delivery issues. So flattered somewhat by that. So.
Yeah, I guess there's the expectation of what may or may not happen with Brexit in amongst all of this, isn't there? So the pound was doing well today.
Absolutely.
It lost some of its impetus as the US dollar shot up, but as sterling was up to $1.339, which is sort of territory it's not spent much time in really since early 2018. Yes. So clearly there's quite a lot of optimism over Brexit. And yet I was just reading just before we started this an article in the last hour or so in the independent newspaper in the UK saying there's no date set for in-person talks to resume as the negotiations are stuck at a crucial stage. But on the other side, we had the Irish PM saying that he's still hopeful there's going to be a deal sorted out by the end of the week. Which week? Well, I don't know. Yeah. Nobody's sure.
well, as best we know, you know, because one of the team members in the European side, you know, had an infection, so they're COVID positive for COVID, so they had to go virtually. So far as we know, those talks are continuing this week. There's a lot of press speculation that they still haven't been able to nut out a deal, and it will require probably the Prime Minister and the European President to get together to nut out a deal. And, you know, there's expectation that the European Parliament been prepped to meet and to pass legislation as late as December 28th. So I don't think this will be the last we've heard of Brexit. But, you know, conceivably it could come at any time, but you're absolutely right. Cable has been, was supported this morning, and sterling, especially against the euro, has been well supported today. So the markets are tilting towards getting a deal.
Yeah.
Just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can read currencies like this, but they seem to be indicating that the UK is going to come out the better out of it than Europe, perhaps. Look, the yuan lost some ground overnight. Look, the Chinese, of course, have been asserting this economic pressure on Australia. The White House is apparently using this as an excuse now. It wants an alliance of Western nations to assert a harder line against China, and President Trump is going to list 89 companies, Chinese companies, that won't be able to access US technology because of their military ties. Look, the commentary seems to be that maybe this could be Donald Trump's legacy. I mean, it's not necessarily going to get better for China once Biden moves into the White House.
I think those sorts of headlines in times past would have been sort of marked as potentially more worrisome than is the case at the present time. Well, I mean, the market, I think, thinks, Phil, that Joe Biden is not going to go easy on China, but is he going to be as vexatious and as, you know, with China as the President Trump has been? So the markets seem to take that news in its stride today. But absolutely, US, China, Australia tension news is certainly important for the Australian economy. I'm just stating the obvious there. So we'll see how that plays out over the weeks ahead, and of course into January as well.
Now, Guy DeBell from the RBA is going to be talking today. We get German IFO numbers, the US Conference Board's consumer confidence numbers later on. We also get preliminary Australian trade data for October. And it's the Victoria budget today. I know you're a Victorian lad, so you'll be watching that very closely.
Absolutely.
Some big infrastructure spending is in the offing.
Waiting for that rail link from Tullamarine back to the city to be built. So it's going to start in 2022. And Victorian Premier and the Prime Minister in a press conference there saying that also going to start the Geelong Fast Rail Project too, Phil, in 2023. So both good projects, I would have thought.
Yeah, all right. And, you know, it's a shame we can't bring that spending forward, isn't it, really? Because, you know, government spending is what we need right now, as much of it as we can next year, I think.
We do. We need it to be the right spending as well.
Of course. You want it all to be in Victoria, don't you? Good to talk, Dave. We'll catch you again soon, later in the week, I think we're going to talk to you. Thanks for coming on today.
Well, Dave, Phil. Cheers.
And we'll listen out for news of the distribution of these various vaccines. I do like the idea of putting it in people's coffee. Do coffee drinkers first, then tea drinkers, and then maybe beer drinkers last. What do you reckon to that idea? That's it for the morning. I'm just talking rubbish now. I better go. I'm Phil Dobby for NAB. See you again tomorrow morning. Cheers.